Charles, it's about D minus 10. 10 hours until ABC television pushes the button that launches the day after upon the airwaves. Unlike the nuclear war that it dramatizes, this movie has spread most of its fallout before it hits. For the past several months, it has been analyzed in magazines, newspapers, and on television with more intensity than a presidential campaign. And in case you've been spending the last few weeks hunting igneous rock formations on Tierra del Fuego, here's a sample of what the day after is all about. Scenes like those that have made the day after into a kind of litmus for the country's political passions, even before most people have even seen it. Does it glorify disarmament? Will it turn us all into Jane Fonda mutants? Will it affect the 1984 campaign? Will it turn out to be President Reagan's The Wrong Stuff? All very interesting questions indeed. But there's another question that has been buried in all this frenzied debate. How did the day after ever make it onto ABC's schedule in the first place? By all surface logic, it is a catalog of primetime taboos. But if it holds on to a large audience throughout this evening, it could change the course of primetime television for years to come. First, let's knock down a couple of myths. The day after was not assembled in some basement by a bunch of Hollywood wild-eyed radicals, and it's not an expression of big liberal television. ABC has been and remains the most conservative of the three networks. The day after was commissioned in 1981 at the height of a flag-waving frenzy in television, with studios churning out patriotic formats that reflected the national shift toward the right. In fact, as the writer Todd Gitlin points out in his excellent new book, Inside Prime Time, the Reagan people initially approved the day after. As one of them said, quote, "The principal characters survive, and that's what we've been trying to get across. No matter how bad nuclear war is, we're not all going to get wiped out." Gee, maybe they should have called it Happy Days. Anyway, with endorsements like that, ABC assumed that the movie was safe for the mainstream, and there were other motives. It was what the network types like to call a high-concept movie. No higher concept than a mushroom cloud. People relate to that. It had a bankable star, Jason Robards, and finally, it was strongly backed by a senior executive who had made a lot of hard commercial cash for ABC in the past. In other words, the day after is a product of the network system, the same system that churns out Love Boat and Family Feud, a system that does what works. And what happens if the day after works? If it holds that big audience through the night, we'll get ready for more of the same. Right now, the networks are virtually starving for new ideas. They have simply run out of breakthrough program forms like the westerns of the 50s or topical comedies of the 70s. What Vogue magazine calls nuclear entertainment could become that new form. Until lately, no one has dared unleash it. But you know how it is. Once you start pressing those buttons, there's just no stopping until it's total. All of which could turn out to be a victory for the Hawks. When it gets down to the nukes of hazard, you know that the crusade has become just another fad. And in the meantime, I recommend that you watch The Day After. And forget all the warnings, watch it with the kids. This movie is not as dangerous as the world they're growing up in.